Text this morning will be Psalm 29. Psalm 29. A Psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in His temple, all cry, glory! The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace. Blessed is the reading of God's holy, infallible, inerrant word through His servant, King David. Father, oh, as we prayed through song, help us see Your glory. Help us see Christ through David, so that we will obey what we preach, to worship You. To worship our King, our Sovereign, All-Powerful One. To the glory of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. The more that a creature praises God for the reality that He actually is, the more whole and healthy that person is. Angels, angelic beings, they do this without the hindrance of sin. Human beings do this as sinners who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, picture a two-week-old, two-month-old, infant, a baby that never cries, never giggles, never expresses anything. That's evidence of a profound dysfunction. A Christian who doesn't exclaim about God, "You are all powerful and worthy and glorious. You're the best. You are the most desirable." That person, as a Christian, is evidencing something profoundly wrong. To be alone with God on your couch as a Christian is to find yourself praising Him, ascribing to Him the beauty of His being, and the goodness of His mercy. To be with the body of Christ, like here on Sunday morning, is to vocally ascribe to the Lord glory, strength, power. And then we address one another, and you tell other creatures in the room, do the same thing. And we do this through song. Or you just do it as a shout of praise, or you can do it in a whisper. We do it all kinds of ways. Okay, so that's the opening. Now, here in Psalm 29, as we've been working through this series, going through Psalms, this one is different than most. What I mean is this. Why do most of us who are Christians love Psalms? Because they relate. They come down to our very everyday, mundane, inner lives. And they reach our emotion, then bring it to God. But Psalm 29 is different because it doesn't focus on us. It doesn't focus on our feelings. It doesn't focus on our fears, our hope. It doesn't focus on our experience of the sense of abandonment, or are you, O Lord, or our tears and grief. The whole thing just focuses on God and on His power. And particularly in the middle of it, on God's awesome and frightening power manifested in phenomena. Storms, earthquakes causing destruction on the earth. This psalm this morning is meant to take our eyes off of ourselves in order to focus on God and His power. It is about the one true God who in the beginning created the heavens and the earth and is absolutely sovereign and all-powerful over all of its happenings. And thus, He's worthy. He's worthy of the worship and the praise and the adoration of all beings. See the first word there? Ascribe. Okay, it's translating literally from the Hebrew the word just to give. Give. Give to the Lord. Okay, give to who? The Lord. Let's just make it clear in case when you'll see me translate that word two different ways. Lord or Yahweh. When you see Lord, L-O-R-D, and all four letters are capitalized, it's saying that the Hebrew word there is not Lord in the sense of master or ruler. That's another Hebrew word, Adonai. This is the personal name of God that He revealed to Israel in the wilderness. We call it the Tetragrammaton, the four letters. You put syllables in between those letters. The Hebrew doesn't actually have syllables in the alphabet. Vowels in the alphabet. You put those vowel sounds in there, it can come out something like Yahweh. Okay. Same thing when the old, because of German, when you hear the word Jehovah, it's the same thing. Yahweh, how are you going to pronounce what we would say that J? Okay. Now, Yahweh here in this short psalm is used 18 times in 11 verses. And then also, the voice of Yahweh is used 7 times. One more thing. As you slowly read this, this psalm is divided up into three main sections. Verses 1 to 2 is Worship Yahweh. Worship the Lord. Then verses 3 to 9, we have Yahweh, the Lord, God, revealing Himself, the object of our worship. And then in verses 10 and 11, it ends with this utterly powerful Creator, God, taking care of His people. So, let's go to the first section first, verses 1 and 2. A psalm of David. Ascribe to Yahweh, O heavenly beings. Let's just pause for a second. And I wish we all did this. My wife's going to get mad. See the comma? Ascribe to the Lord, comma. That means it's a vocative case. He's addressing someone. When you address someone, you put it aside with a comma. Okay. Ascribe to Yahweh. Who is David talking to? O heavenly beings, comma. He's still talking to him. Ascribe to Yahweh glory and strength. Ascribe to Yahweh the glory due His name. O heavenly beings, worship Yahweh in the splendor of holiness. So in this psalm, in verses 1 and 2, David is speaking to angels. He's saying to angels, that's not human beings. They're not dead, departed human beings. They are another kind of creature with a mind and with a will. He's speaking to angelic beings. The Hebrew behind heavenly beings is just basically the sons of the mighty one. He is referring to angels. That same phrase in the Hebrew is used, for instance, let me give you another parallel of that. Psalm 89, verse 6. But let me just start with verse 5. Psalm 89 says to us, let the heavens praise your wonders, O Yahweh. Speaking to Yahweh here. Your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can be compared to Yahweh? Who among, and here's the same phrase, who among the heavenly beings is like Yahweh? A God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all who are around Him. So these heavenly beings are the assembly of created angelic beings surrounding the throne of God. So here in Psalm 29, these angels, they are told three times by the human being, David, to ascribe, or to give. Angels, give to Yahweh. Give to God. They are to give glory. They're to give strength. They're to give the strength that His name, Yahweh, deserves. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. So when we ascribe or give to the Lord, what does that mean? Well, let's start with what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean give the Lord glory, give Him strength. It doesn't mean that, oh, we're going to add something to God, to the Lord. So once I come about and give it to Him, He's more glorious. Or He is more powerful because I gave that to Him. It's not, obviously, that's not what it means. If you ascribe or give to the Lord majesty, it doesn't mean you make Him more majestic as king. If you ascribe to Him all knowledge, you don't make him more knowledgeable. No, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. So what does it mean? It's got to mean give the appropriate response to his glory, to his strength, to his name. Or in other words, as creatures made in the image of God, with a mind and a will, at least like God, it means reflect back to him. Or you can say it this way, declare as a creature to the Creator, declare that glory and all power and strength are his, they rightly belong to him. That's what it means. It's like if you were to say, you know what? Give to the Grand Canyon glory and beauty. Okay, does it mean let me drive 8 hours to the Grand Canyon and stand on the edge of that massive hole in the ground and let me add more beauty because Joe is there? Or let me add more glory to it. It's not what it means. To give it, it means to stand on the edge and appropriately respond to what is there. Wow. That's a big hole. Beautiful. It's majestic. That's glory. If you go with someone, or even maybe a stranger, you might look over and say, look at that. And then go speechless. Give glory to God. Give strength to God. In other words, acknowledge reality and respond with your mouth. Appropriately. All glory to you, O God, most powerful one. All glory to you, who is good. That's what David is telling angels to do. But for us, as one like a David, who would do this alone at home or together on a Sunday morning. Therefore, to ascribe, to give to the Lord these things, it by definition includes the mind. In other words, the mind focuses on the object of adoration, the Grand Canyon, Yahweh, God. It includes the mind, but not just the mind. You could see it. And just say, yeah, but I'm bored. It includes the mind and then a response called the will. The will, which you see at the very end of verse 2, where David says to the angelic creatures, worship. No, give homage, something like that. Bowing down or raising hands. In other words, act with your will. Worship Yahweh in the splendor of holiness. Okay, that's what we have there in verses 1 to 2. But before we leave it, here's a question. Should we do, as Christians, what David did? Talk to angels? He exhorts angels to worship God? The answer is yes. Which therefore means, as Christians, first and foremost, you'll never ever truly do that unless you are awakened to the unseen world. It is another dimension. It is the spirit world. That I could say it this way, is more real before it is eternal. God is spirit, more real than the created world in that sense. And then David does this speaking to angels. Listen to how he does this in the great Psalm 103. At the end of Psalm 103, hear what he does. Verse 20, bless Yahweh, you, here it is, vocative case, see the comma, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word, bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. And so now here's the kicker. That exhortation to beings in the spirit world, it comes from people like David and us. It comes from people who themselves are after the practice of what they preach to angels. You can see it because in Psalm 103 ends what? What's the last thing he says in Psalm 103? Bless the Lord, comma, vocative case, he's going to address somebody. Bless the Lord, David. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So talking to angels this way, it is something that the songbook of the Bible encourages. And it is why throughout church history, we write hymns that incorporate such, like what we will sing after this sermon this morning, the doxology. You know it, very short. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, now we're all creatures down here below. Praise Him, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So these angels, these heavenly hosts, here's the easy thing about it. Unlike us, they always do the will of God. And thus they love it when we tell them, worship God, join your voices in the spirit world with our meager voices down here as sinners being saved by grace. It's verses 1 and 2. Then the next section is verses 3 to 9. And in this section now, David goes into a particular area where we can see God's glory and power and strength in nature. In other words, in massive storms and earthquakes. And he says, you can hear him. You can hear God. You can see him. That's why he says, God's voice. God's voice. You can hear God's voice by seeing and hearing the power of rushing waters and thunderclaps and lightning bolts, feeling the earth shake under your feet. Start with verse 3. The voice of Yahweh, the Lord, is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. Yahweh over many waters. The voice of Yahweh is powerful. The voice of Yahweh is full of majesty. Yahweh breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. Yeah, when you hear all of paganism and Baal worship and all the gods of the pagans, it's the god of the storm, it's the god of the sea, it's the god of the sky. This is, in a sense, mockery coming from God through David of all those false gods. The creator of the universe, Yahweh himself, is sovereign over everything. He is God. And so Yahweh, he says, with a storm, he breaks, like they're toothpicks, 70-foot tall cedar trees in Lebanon with storm. And the mountains of Lebanon and Mount Hermon, that's where that area is, as that storm moves off the Mediterranean Sea through Lebanon and keeps going east, etc. And then, besides ripping apart those trees, he shakes the earth as he providentially causes its tectonic plates to shift. That's what he means. These mountains, they skip like a calf, move like wild oxen. And then God's voice speaks through bolts of lightning. As that storm goes, thunderclaps, the lightning, and it causes female deer to go into premature labor and give birth as his storm rips the branches and leaves off the trees. That's what it says, right? The voice, verse 7, the voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. Then he ends it. And I think what he means by this last line is still what's happening around the throne in the spirit world. And when we see natural, even destructive phenomena at God's sovereign hand, in heaven, these angelic beings, and in his temple up there, every one of them, they cry, glory. David's word picture, it's saying God's voice destroys and moves mountains. And all of those heavenly beings around the throne of God in his temple, they exalt with glory. All glory to your name. So David paints the picture also so that we his people, would learn to hear God's voice in such scary, awe-inspiring natural phenomena, so that we also would exclaim, glory to you, O God. Now, 2 months ago, Sonia and I witnessed natural phenomena in the hills of New Hampshire. We saw and heard God's voice in his glory through the quiet, calm view of rolling hills with the fall colors. But this psalm now tells us you can also appreciate the glory of God by going to YouTube and punching in horrifically destructive hurricanes, earthquakes, and tsunamis. And then comes the third and final section of the psalm, which is so salvific, because David's point now, Holy Spirit's point, is not to leave God's people trembling at his awesome power, but it is to assure them, his people, that this omnipotent, mighty, all-powerful creator is their sovereign king and protector in order to bring to them security and peace. Let's read it. I'm going to read it from the New American Standard Bible because I think their interpretation is more accurate to the verb tenses. And so David, he wraps the psalm up like this. The Lord, Yahweh, sat as king at the flood. Yes, Yahweh sits as king forever. The Lord, Yahweh, will give strength to his people. The Lord, Yahweh, will bless his people with peace. So, Christian, your God, your Savior, in the book of Genesis, in that historical event in Noah's day, where he destroyed every human being on earth except for the eight that he saved, he sat enthroned as king. That is what he's referring to. This Hebrew word translated flood here, the only other times it's used in the Hebrew scripture is only referring to the flood in Noah's day, where God distinguished between his people and others. And that same God, here's his point, over that terrible flood in which he did save the eight persons, he says, he is the one who is now reigning as sovereign king. That was true in Noah's day. David says it's true right now in my day. And but now I say to you, it is true in an even greater way than that. What I mean is this. The Lord, he will give strength. He will give peace through. Now we know how he did it then. We know clearly how he brings peace through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the picture. This all-powerful creator who can be very scary in the storm. He is king. He reigns. He's the king who gets off his throne. And he stoops down to instill real eternal peace to his people. His people, who are they? All who come to him. How does he do it? 1,000 years after David wrote this song, an angel, an angelic being named Gabriel, showed up and spoke to the Virgin Mary. And the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And Yahweh, the Son, was implanted in her egg, in her womb. And then 9 months later, okay, let's just hold these things in tension. So juxtapose what we just saw. 9 months later, first, the God who destroys the earth with a flood and rips cedar trees apart like they're a toothpick. That same God then was born as a human being in an obscure stable to a poor family in that little town of Bethlehem. And then, on that same day, as the sun had gone down, now it's night, heavenly beings, in other words, whom David, in our psalm, exhorted to ascribe all glory to God, God sent many of those heavenly beings to a few shepherds a few miles away in the fields outside Bethlehem. And Luke, he tells it this way in chapter 2. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord, Yahweh, shone around them. And they, the shepherds, were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Don't fear, because I'm here to bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all the people. Here it is. Unto you, earth, is born this day, right over there in the city of David, a Savior who is the Messiah, Yahweh. And as you go in there, guys, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in an animal feeding trough." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom God is pleased." That makes Psalm 29, verse 11, more sure. The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. The God who breaks massive cedar trees and shakes the earth is also the God who became one of us in order to strengthen, sustain, atone for our sin, to provide everlasting forgiveness in order to usher us into His glory forever and ever and ever in the resurrection. He does that for His people. And so now, we in this room, when we look at Psalm 29, verse 10, Yahweh, He sat as King at the flood. Yes, Yahweh sits King forever. We read that through the eyes of Philippians chapter 2. Christ, Messiah, Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count His equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of human beings and being found in human nature, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Okay. Then the next word is huge. Therefore, because of that, God has highly exalted Him, Mary's baby. God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him, that baby, what? The name. The name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus from Nazareth, every knee should bow. In heaven, O angels, and on earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus, the Messiah, is Yahweh, to the glory of God the Father. Our Lord Jesus has been resurrected to human immortality and ascended and seated as King, reigning forever. And that's how we read Psalm 29. Yes, Yahweh, King Jesus, sits as King forever. Yes, the Lord, Yahweh, Jesus, will give strength to His people. The Lord, Yahweh, our King, will bless His people with peace. And that's why we invite, as Christians, angels to join us. Ascribe to Yahweh, ascribe to King Jesus, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to Yahweh glory and strength. Ascribe to King Jesus the glory due His name. Worship King Jesus in the splendor of holiness. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So, Father, we thank You for such the indescribable gift of Christmas. To the glory of Your name, allow us that wonderful privilege in our time left this morning to do this, and to do this with all of our heart, to the glory of our great reigning King, Jesus. Amen. Let us stand and invite the